He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So, all right, well, we have this comment here. Tony Lee, the Rockets should get on the phone with the Lakers and see if AR is available. They don't have enough stuff for AR. Like, why would the Lakers trade them? Why would the Lakers take themselves out of title contention and make the Rockets actual title contenders without getting back so much that the Rockets would no longer be contenders, you know? So I don't think the Rockets are going to be, they can't get like, yeah, like, you know, if you're talking about AR, like you better get a Şengün back or an Amen Thompson back, somebody like that. Like maybe you can get Jabari Smith or not maybe, but like you would have to send over a Jabari Smith and then some stuff outside of that. Like if the Lakers were to do that, it would be for fit after seeing what it looks like with Luka, with LeBron and Austin together. But the Lakers would like, I'll tell you this right now. From what I have heard, Austin would be completely off of the table in any discussion with the Houston Rockets in this kind of a spot. Now, Gabe Vincent, that's an interesting one, right? Like Gabe Vincent, I'm going to pull up the trade machine here and go through some of the scenarios. Now, remember, this is difficult because the Lakers and the Rockets are up against the first apron hard cap. So you would have to almost match dollar for dollar what these teams would send out and bring in. So like I there was a funny joke going around, should the Lakers trade Gabe Vincent for Dorian Finney-Smith? That would be funny. But Dorian makes too much money. So Gabe makes $11.5 million this year. Dorian Finney-Smith makes $12.7 million this year. Unless the Lakers were to trade like Dalton to Brooklyn to open up some extra space, they wouldn't be able to do that. Now, as far as like, you know, the Lakers are still pretty thin at center. The Rockets are very much not thin at center. So maybe that's a conversation that you could maybe get into where, again, so the, you know, you send out Gabe, he's 11.5. Steven Adams makes $14 million this year. They also picked up Clint Capella. He makes $6.7 million this year. Now with all of these guys, so, Clint Capella, not eligible to be traded until December. So that, you know, obviously complicates things there. Maybe the Lakers, let's see. So Josh Okogie makes $2.2 million this year. So if the Lakers you could send over Bronny, you can't, I would not do that. But like if the Lakers sent Gabe Vincent, that's 11.5 and got back Okogie and Capella. No, you can't even do that because the Rockets are up against that hard cap. So, yeah, unfortunately, because of the amount of money that Gabe Vincent makes, the 11.5 that he makes, sending him to Houston is actually really tricky. And, you know, you would have to probably involve a third team here, probably Brooklyn, to, you know, allow for, you know, I guess Houston could trade, like it would be, let's say it's Steven Adams, which by the way, wouldn't hate this trade. Don't love that Adams has 3 years left on his deal, but still. So let's say it's Gabe and Steven Adams are kind of like the main parts of the trade. The Lakers would probably have to, would have to also send Dalton, I would say, or Jackson, I would say. So Jackson makes $3.4 million. So that would get you to... Actually, that would work. If it would be Gabe and Jackson. Now, again, Jackson can't be moved, I don't believe, until like December, maybe, because he's a recently signed player. But yeah, a few of these guys wouldn't be able to be traded. Jackson also can't be, according to Fanspo anyway. But in December, if they do decide to, if they decide they need more help here and Reed Sheppard isn't good enough, if a few, and by the way, like this is how the league tends to go, right? These teams, like the Rockets, are going to enter the season hoping upon hope that Reed Sheppard is good enough to step into that spot and is ready as a second year player to be a starter on a title contender. Maybe he is. I think he's pretty well set up. You know, they have plenty of defense around him so that he won't be as easily attacked defensively or picked on defensively. He's a great shooter. So like that, you don't have to worry as much about, his gumming up the offense when he doesn't have the ball. So that also is helpful. But yeah, at the end of the day, like the Rockets, just like we saw with Miami the other day too, right? Where, Tyler Hero is going to miss the beginning of the season with a surgery. Was it a company time surgery? That was really weird. But anyway, the Heat, right? They entered this season or planned on entering the season, seeing if they could, compete in the bad Eastern Conference and see what they're capable of. Maybe you win a playoff series here or there, and then you get a couple bounces and all of a sudden you're in the conference finals, again. But for them, they're going to be missing the engine of their offense at the beginning of the year with Tyler Hero. So if their season doesn't go very well at the beginning of it, does their organization or the people in the organization who have been wanting to tear things down a little bit more, do they kind of look around and say, all right, Pat, can we finally do this? And do they kind of, course correct and make Wiggins more realistically available? In this case, right, for the Rockets, they have plenty of center depth at this point. They don't have enough point guard depth. They need to address that point guard depth. Do they use some of the center depth to go out and get the point guard that they need? That's going to be interesting to see. Or, I would imagine they're going to enter the season first and see how Reed Sheppard looks. And if he doesn't look quite ready for it, then yeah, that conversation becomes a lot more tangible. It becomes a lot more realistic. The Lakers, for their sake, right? They're basically entering the season and they want to see what Maxi Kleber looks like, or that's at least what they're saying. They want to see what Gabe Vincent looks like, and they want to see what all of these moving parts look like at the early part of the season. And then they'll kind of, reapproach the trade negotiation tables and have some more productive conversations with the Rockets, with the Heat, with team X, Y, or Z, based on how the early part of the season had gone. So, again, it sucks that it's for this reason, but this is how NBA seasons go. Maybe not this early, where you lose a key part of a title contender before the season even starts, but this is how seasons go, where teams have one outlook going into a season, and then all of a sudden, boom, something either happens good or bad, and now all of a sudden they have to rethink those things, and that presents new opportunities for their competitors, and or it takes away opportunities from their competitors, right? So yeah, it's going to be like, Omaris Hall is saying he can see teams helping Houston watch Portland trade them Drew Holiday. They can try, but again, the Rockets are so close to that first apron. And they're hard capped below that first apron that it's really difficult. Drew Holiday makes a lot of money. We could go like, let me pull up some of these teams here. Portland, and the Rockets. Jrue Holiday makes $32 million this year. And if you trade for Jrue Holiday and you don't send Fred VanVleet, now all of a sudden you have $57.4 million devoted to the point guard position. And yeah, Jrue would be perfect. He would be, you know, the exact kind of player that you want to bring in. But in order to get a Jrue Holiday, you would need to send out, like, because you're not sending out Kevin Durant. You're not sending out Alperen Şengün for Jrue Holiday. Fred VanVleet has that no trade clause. Which maybe, you know, he has the player option regardless. So maybe he waives the no trade clause and is okay with being traded to Portland. Maybe, maybe not. But if you can't move one of those bigger contracts, now you're looking at like Dorian Finney-Smith, who makes 12.7. Jabari Smith makes 12.3. Reed Shepard, who is the point guard depth that you're relying on heading into the season, he makes 10.6. That's three rotation players for Jrue Holiday, and you're already pretty thin after trading for Kevin Durant. So, Jrue would make a lot of sense for a lot of teams, but $32 million, not just this season, but he has 3 years left on his contract heading into this upcoming season. That's tough, man. Like, that's something that not very many teams are very interested in. And, I don't know if Jrue Holiday gets traded. Do the Rockets trade for Anfernee Simons, right, from Boston? Do they try to trade? Yeah, like Kobe White is another guy who might come to mind. Derek White from Boston, also somebody who Houston, I'm sure, is making some calls about. So point being here that Houston, they are back. They are starting their season backed up into a wall. And it's a season very much worth saving, especially to an owner who has invested to the extent that Tillman Fertitta has. So, yeah, I'm really curious to see how this is going to go for the Houston Rockets. I'm really curious to see, what the leaks and reports coming out of Houston are going to be as they go into media day, and as their front office is made available to reporters this upcoming week or so. And then as you get into training camp and as you get into the early part of the season, depending on how Reed Shepard looks, I would be surprised, frankly, if the Rockets and Lakers didn't have some kind of conversation about Gabe Vincent as kind of a stopgap. But I'm of the opinion that, like, because of how good Houston is elsewhere, they're probably looking for a little bit more than a stopgap. So, but this is, again, I hate using this phrasing because at the end of the day, somebody's hurt right now and not able to play basketball for basically a whole year. But this is the kind of situation that the Lakers, they're kind of light on resources. So if they're able to get an extra second rounder by way of sending Gabe Vincent to Houston, I'd be open to that, right? I would be open to that so that, whenever, and especially if you can get a player who helps you a little bit and you can get that second rounder and take advantage of that desperation, I would be very open to that. That way, you maybe address one issue on your roster to at least a limited extent, and you have further resources to address other issues on your roster to greater extents. This is the kind of spot that, going into the season. Now, look, the Sharks are going to be swirling, right? There's blood in the water. So you know that all of these NBA teams are having the same ideas that we are. But this is the kind of spot that the Lakers should probably look to try to take advantage of. I feel dirty saying that, but it's because I'm in off season mode, right? You go in, like, you're in the off season and you start thinking, like, Pete and I just had like a philosophical talk on Friday, right? And so, like, you're in off season mode and you're thinking about like world stuff and these deep philosophical questions about sports. And then, like, by the time you get to the season, you're like, ooh, somebody got hurt. Let's see if we could jump on that spot. Like, it's just, I got to get, I got to, you know, get back into basketball shape here, you know. I gotta figure out a way to like, you know, bring, oh, pods. All right. So Gray Raj had this earlier when I was going through the tiers that pods starts at the two. He's another 5'3" dude, you know, like their whole roster. All right. So the Golden State Warriors are thinking that they're going to have Steph Curry. He's like 6'3", 6'4", maybe. Yeah, it's like 6'3", 6'4". His brother, I think, is a little shorter. Gary Payton II is like 6'3", 6'4". De'Anthony Melton is like 6'4", 6'5". Pods is like 6'3", 6'4". That's five guys in that. Like, we are entering three-guard lineup territory. Now, it's a little different there because those guards do space the floor and they fly around on defense and stuff. So it wouldn't be quite as ugly, I don't think, as the three-guard lineups that the Lakers were trotting out there under Darvin Ham previously. But they're just so small. And they lost Kevon Looney, who was their only bulk inside, unless you're saying that one white dude that they have, the tall white guy that they have, is going to step up. He might. He looked pretty solid in some smaller spots last year. But still, like, your center rotation is Al Horford, who isn't very big, Draymond Green, who's like 6'7", and that tall, lanky white dude. It's not ideal. Post, thank you, Quentin Post, Tam the Pessimist. Chat's on fire today. Like, chat, you guys are bringing it. Look at you guys. We're all getting it. Like, basketball's right around the corner, and I can totally see us all like, all right. You know, we got some trade rumors, some trade speculation to talk about today. We got Rob and JJ talking on Thursday. We got all of this shit. Like, let's, you know, we're all, and you guys are hitting me with like the information I'm looking for. Look at you guys freaking killing it. But yeah, like, I don't think the Warriors are in a tier with the Lakers. They're just too small. It's a tiny team. That is a very, and like, who, like, in that, in those groups, you have like, I guess you would have Draymond guarding Luka in that equation, but then that takes him out of the middle of the defense where he is special. You have Draymond maybe guarding LeBron, I guess, but like, again, same issue. So you would maybe try to sneak him on Ayton, right, and have him gum up the offense by being in the middle there. And doing a lot of switching and stuff on pick and roll, which, okay, I can kind of see it, but who starts on Luka? Pods? Jimmy's gonna, like, you're gonna have Jimmy guard one of LeBron or Luka for the whole game? That seems unwise. I don't love that Golden State roster. I don't think Golden State fans would love that roster, to be completely honest. That's kind of an ugly roster. Like, I actually think the Clippers roster makes a hell of a lot more sense. They're just clearly cursed. Like, they are heading into a cursed season. I'm willing to call that one now. Basketball gods are not going to be thrilled with them, right? But let me know what you guys think. Hit me with your questions and comments, you know, over the next few days here. But I think the Lakers are pretty squarely in tier two with Minnesota. Now, if you want to have Minnesota ahead of the Lakers, then I'm perfectly fine with that. They kicked the Lakers' ass in last year's playoffs, got them out of the first round in pretty unceremonious fashion. I did think they got a little worse this year, right? Losing Nikhil Alexander-Walker, but you know, that was, you know, were they a Nikhil Alexander Walker? So it was a 5-game series, and Raj would say that there were some close games there. I'm of the opinion that a 5-game series is a 5-game series is a 5-game series, but Minnesota loses Nikhil Alexander Walker. The Lakers gain DeAndre Ayton and Marcus Smart. Is that enough to, you know, take it from a 5-game loss to a, and then, you know, Luka's healthier, which I think is the biggest force multiplier there. So mate, like, if you want to have the Lakers even or slightly ahead of the Minnesota Timberwolves, I won't begrudge you. I personally would have the Timberwolves a little ahead of the Lakers just because of the extent to which they took belt to ass last year. But end of the day, like, I think the Lakers have a real shot at home court advantage heading into the season. They have a nice, easy, early slate to the season. So you should have some momentum. Like, this is basically, there were boxes that needed to be checked along the way here, starting it with how the offseason was going to go and all of that good stuff. And then you arrive here where the Lakers stand now. And I think the Lakers have a legitimate chance to push chips into the middle of the table and do so for the right player or the right players. If the Lakers were able to get Rui get Wiggins without giving up Rui, or if the Lakers are able to turn Gabe Vincent into like a Steven Adams, right? As you kind of switch positional depth there. If you're able to do enough of those little moves, like the big moves you got taken care of already. You have Luka, you have LeBron. Austin's a pretty damn good third best player. Ask people in Houston how much they wish they had Austin Reeves right now, by the way. It was funny, like all of the comments that we had at the end of last episode and the conversation that we had at the end of last episode, ask people in Houston how much they wish they had an Austin Reeves on their team right now. But anyway, as far as like, you know, what we would have liked to have seen going into the season, I'm not saying I would have liked to have seen a player suffer a potentially career altering at this stage of his career. But a season ending injury, I would never root for that, but the Lakers do get a little bit of help here. They do get a little bit of luck and they go into the season, I think squarely in that second tier of the Western Conference, have a real shot at a top four seed. And then from there, it's like you take care of business in the first round. You go into your next series, as a slight underdog maybe. And then you see if you can shock the world in the conference finals. And then all of a sudden you're in the NBA finals against a team that's going to be coming from a really bad Eastern Conference. Like, there's a path here. And if you would have asked me right after that Minnesota Timberwolves beatdown going into the offseason, can you identify a path here for the Lakers? I don't know if I would have been able to identify one or realistically identify one. Here, I just did. And I think the path looks pretty good. All right. That is going to do it. Fun episode here. And like I said, you know, I said this on Sunday. Now, I didn't think this was going to be the reason why, but we are now in that stretch of the off season where we start to get actual news to react to every night, and we get back to news from the Lakers training camp and stuff to react to every night, which means we'll be back to lowdown episodes starting tonight. I'm going to narrate the LeBron one, and then I'll narrate the Austin one for tomorrow, and then we'll be back. Then I'll be able to react to Rob and JJ's dual presser from Thursday. That'll be a lowdown. So we are basically back to your regular scheduled programming. Thank you. I do want to say this really, really quickly. We had a special offseason this year. Considering the Lakers were knocked out of the playoffs early, obviously, you know, the numbers took a hit then. But they have been going, you know, up. They have been cruising upward basically throughout the entirety. We had a record-breaking July. And then we, you know, we had record-breaking August and September. So you guys were on track for a record-breaking September. So you guys have absolutely brought it. And I greatly, greatly appreciate it. So please continue to hit that like button, continue to hit that subscribe button. Let's keep those numbers going in the right direction so we can kill the more the numbers grow, the better the show can become, because the revenue that I get from that, I invest back into the show. I go out and I get co-hosts and I get producers and I do all these fun things. So I really, really appreciate it. My family really, really appreciates it. We as a community here really, really appreciate it. So Shouts to you guys. Have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you guys.